Good afternoon. I'm delighted today to have with me Mr. Andy Corrie, who is Area Operations Manager of the Manx Cooperative Society. Andy has kindly agreed to provide an update from his sector, including on the important question of food supplies. First of all, I would like to update you on the numbers relating to testing. So far, total tests undertaken is 742. Total results received, 587. Number of tests sent away today, 88. Total confirmed cases, 29. Total confirmed new cases, 3. Number of current hospital admissions, 2. Before I hand over to Andy, I would like to make a couple of points of my own. First, I know that many of you were moved by the video from our health and social care colleagues that we showed yesterday evening. I know many of you also joined in the outpouring of thanks for them last night at 8 p.m. They are indeed heroes. Also, we must not forget the housekeepers and other support staff in the health and social care sector who perform such an essential role in keeping everyone safe. There are so many people who have stepped up. We must not forget our other emergency service colleagues and the civilian staff who support them. They are working to protect us all. We need to give them the space to do this. They have told us that road traffic accidents take up a significant amount of their time. So we have taken action. The Council of Ministers has therefore today decided to bring in a temporary speed limit across the island of 40 miles per hour from midnight tonight. We also agreed to keep under review a possible reduction of the 30 mile per hour zones to 20 if it is felt to be necessary. Our primary objective has been, and will continue to be, the preservation of life. We will continue to listen to our professionals. We will continue to take action. Secondly, as I've said on a number of occasions now, including in Tynwald recently this afternoon, I am extremely grateful for all the work that our people in food retail and related service sectors are doing. Too often their contribution is not recognised. They deserve our respect and thanks. People will have seen reports of an arrest made yesterday in one of our supermarkets. I will not be commentating on the specifics of this. This is policing matters. It is important that the police have operational independence. The Chief Constable has said that the police will maintain a high-profile presence over the coming weeks, and anyone who plays fast and loose with the law, putting their own and others' lives at risk, will be dealt with appropriately. I fully appreciate that queuing outside supermarkets is far from ideal, but as our clinical professionals have told us, and as I have said here on a number of occasions, social distancing is the single most effective thing we can all do to reduce the spread of the virus. I would like to thank everyone who is showing patience and understanding. But I do need to reiterate that we will not tolerate any abuse, either of fellow customers or staff. I will now hand over to Andy to give you a talk on the food sector.
Thank you, Chief Minister. Good afternoon, everyone. I would first like to thank all food retail colleagues for working hard to keep the island fed. You are doing a fantastic job and it is very much appreciated. I would also like to thank their families for supporting them in the important job that they are doing. Trust me when I say that these colleagues are like my family to me and their safety is my number one priority. I will look after them, as will other business leaders on the Isle of Man. All food suppliers are now working together to keep the island fed, also with government. There is plenty of food and the supply chain is solid. I would also like to take this opportunity to give a big shout out to the Manx businesses such as Ramsey Bakery, Isle of Man Creameries, Isle of Man Meats, who are doing a sterling job in keeping the supply lines going of their products. At the moment, fresh foods are being prioritised and ambient supplies will see recovery over the next week or so. And you will slowly see item restrictions being removed in stores as the situation improves. I have some simple messages for the Manx people. There is no need to panic buy. Buy only what you need. Respect store colleagues, as the Chief Minister has said, and they will do the same for you. Also, respect the social distancing measures we've put in place. They are there for your protection and the protection of our colleagues. Shop for your elderly and vulnerable neighbours so they don't have to. Don't forget to keep using small Manx businesses as well, so they are still there for you when this is over. This includes shops as well as cafe and restaurant delivery and collection services. Finally, please all think of what you can do to help. Don't stand on the sidelines and volunteer to help wherever you can. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Chief Minister.
And thank you very much, Andy, and please pass on my personal thanks to all of your team who are doing so much for our community. There is an impressive national effort underway. Before I take questions, I would like to repeat the message that I left with members of Tynwald. We need to continue to pull together, work together, support each other, and wherever possible, stay at home to protect our most vulnerable. Do this today. Save lives. I'll now like to invite members of the press for their questions, and I believe I have Chris Kay from Energy FM. Chris.
Thank you, Chief Minister. First question for Mr. Corrie, please.
Okay, I'll just move out.
Hi, Chris.
You say there's plenty of supply, don't panic buy and help neighbours out. Is there not a way people can obtain some sort of permit which would allow them to shop for a vulnerable or self-isolating neighbour that doesn't also stop them from buying essentials for themselves? Some people are having to go to the supermarket more frequently at present because they're being restricted to buying X amount of certain products when they're shopping for more than one household.
Very good question. This very matter has been discussed this morning with a group of retailers and representatives from government. So what I would say is I can't give details yet because a final system hasn't been put into place. But watch this space is all I can say. It's definitely high on the agenda.
How long can we expect before something like that is introduced?
It's not my decision, unfortunately. This is there's various stakeholders involved, but we are all working very hard to make it happen as quickly as we possibly can. And I think people who've maybe seen some of the other actions that have taken place at speed, hopefully they'll have confidence and faith that we will make things happen as quickly as we can.
Thank you. And second question for the Chief Minister.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
A majority of people are now being told to work from home where possible. But there are also lone workers such as gardeners who are also being told not to work, and some aren't eligible to receive the economic support. It could be financially crippling for some people who don't come into contact with people. So will the government be revisiting who can and cannot go to work, or is this now set in stone?
Well, if we feel there is a clear need for certain people to work that we haven't thought of, then obviously we will revisit it. But at this moment in time, the rules and regulations clearly stand. But as I say, next week we will be announcing a number of teams for various people, for people to contact, whether it be social care issues, general question issues, the benefits that the Treasury Minister is announcing, the detail of that. These teams will be up and running next week, and I think we'll have obviously more detail as we're going through. As I said to Tynwald members, this is, and I'm sure people are getting fed up with me saying this, but this is a fast-moving situation, and we have to move quickly with the times. And if common sense shows that we need to make a change, then obviously this administration will do that. Thank you very much, Chris. Next, we have Josh from ITV. Josh.
Thank you, Chief Minister. I hope you're well. Given the increasing number of confirmed cases, has there been any further talks about setting up maybe a hotel or somewhere as a place of quarantine for people with the virus or even with symptoms? Because it seems we're only at the beginning of this and cases are only going to go up now.
Well, obviously, the Department of Health and Social Care are doing their emergency planning. Obviously, we've been working this for a while, so we've been able to clear wards out by moving people, if they're clinically fit, to go home or utilising Ramsey District Cottage Hospital. So we have additional spaces on top of our wards 1 and 2 that are ready. If we see the need for it, then obviously we are going to have to look at other issues, and that's something constantly being worked on by our professionals at the Department of Health and Social Care.
Thank you. My second question is for Mr. Corrie, please.
Okay.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Mr. Corrie. We've heard today of a 16-year-old being arrested for provoking behaviour at a supermarket. Putting that case aside, because I know we can't speak about that, have you had any other experience of this, and how important is it, in your words, that people respect those working in these essential shops that have to remain open? And what more do you think can be done to prevent these things from happening?
So the vast, vast majority of the Manx public have behaved incredibly well, have responded incredibly well to the social distancing measures, and have been really respectful to the colleagues in the stores. So I think the first thing I would say is that it is a very small minority of people who we're talking about here. So I don't see it as a big problem at the moment, but it is something that I think everybody should bear in mind. They should take the example from the case that you refer to and understand that this sort of thing will not be tolerated either by the retailers themselves or by the police and indeed the government.
Do you feel that the measures are strict enough at the moment to control it?
I feel for the current situation, there's a strong enough message, and there is sufficient respect out there for that message that I don't feel that anything significantly further needs to be done currently. But that will be under constant review, and should it be required, then other measures may follow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we move on, if I can just reiterate that abuse to whether it be our medical staff, our people working in pharmacies, people working in the retail sector, it will not be tolerated. But we're not seeing a large amount of it, but we have put the measures in place to stop that, you know, happening. Now, I understand the frustration, as I said at the start of my talk today, that people will be frustrated that they're having to wait an hour, maybe 2 hours, to get into a store to buy food. But those measures have been put in place to protect you, stopping you from getting the coronavirus. So whilst it's really frustrating, we've been really lucky that the weather so far has been exceptionally good so that people aren't standing out in the rain queuing to go in to get food, can I please urge you to be patient? It's unprecedented times that we're living in. It's a word that sometimes is bandied about too often, but I think for the rest of our lives and our children's lives, we may not see something that we're going through at this moment in time. So please be patient and accept that these measures, the queuing, etc., to get into the stores is in your best interests. Right, next we have Adrian from Alamann Newspapers.
Hi, Chief Minister.
Hello, Adrian. Lovely to hear from you.
Hello. You can't see my face this afternoon, unfortunately.
Yeah, aren't we lucky?
Aren't you lucky? Following on from what you said just now, obviously, most people have taken on board the restrictions on their movement, the queues at the shops. How confident are you that that cooperation will continue in the next 2 weeks, the next 2 months, or however long this is going to take?
Well, I think we've all got to change the way we live, Adrian. We've already having to self-isolate. We can't go to certain areas. We can't go to certain shops anymore. I've just announced a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit to protect the theatres and the availability at Nobles Hospital so that we can treat people who come in with coronavirus. We are seeing significant changes to our lives, and I think Everyone gets it. They know this isn't something that's just happening on the Isle of Man. Nowhere, no corner of the world is being spared from coronavirus. And I think the people of the Isle of Man get it and will get into a routine of having to accept that they are going to have to queue and be socially distancing themselves from their fellow members of the public, the 2 metre or 6 foot rule, for some time to come. And I have faith in the people of the Isle of Man to adhere to this. Your next question, Adrian?
The second question to you, Chief Minister. The £100 million package of measures to support jobs and the economy, that's that money coming out of the National Insurance Fund, isn't it? Are there concerns about using that fund, which obviously is earmarked for payment of certain benefits and the state pension?
Well, of course there's concern about spending £100 million, Adrian, but if we don't do it, then people are going to have no money. People are going to lose their jobs, and that could damage the economy even more than what we're doing. We could lose far more money as a result. So I think this is a practical way of trying to keep people in work, keep them in their jobs, and keep money circulating around the economy, and also enable people to pay for their food, etc., for those who cannot work. And I know the Treasury Minister and his team are working incredibly hard to come up with a raft of packages, and I'm sure he will be doing a presentation to you on Monday sometime to give further details of his proposals. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Adrian. We now move on to Tim from Manx Radio. Tim.
Fastam, I unfortunately you can see my radio face, but there we go. Can I just first of all thank Mr. Corry for coming on, and the questions that I had for him have been answered, but a round of applause for all the shop workers. I applauded the bin workers collecting our bins this morning out of the window with thumbs up, and they were smiling. Regarding TT being cancelled, we're hearing of some hotels not repaying money to fans, some of whom are vowing never to return. I know that they're experiencing an unprecedented crisis in that part of the island's economy, but don't we need to protect the reputation of the event and the island as well? And can the Chief Minister promise accommodation providers and the steam packet look at actions which reassure fans, such as maybe a refund or guarantee of a bed and a journey next year?
Yeah, well, I think that's already happening, Tim. I think most people are saying, look, we'll carry it over, your £50, £100 deposit, whatever it may be, to next year's TT, where possible. Obviously, if they're already fully booked, that might be difficult, on whether they'll offer vouchers to say, well, if you come another time, whether it be to the Manx Grand Prix, the TT Classic. These are issues that we need to look at. But an awful lot of businesses have taken the money in good faith. They are still prepared to offer the service, but the people, obviously, at this moment in time, wouldn't be able to get to the island. So it's something that needs to be looked at. And I know this is not the first time, obviously, I've heard this, and I know the Department for Enterprise, Tim, are looking at this to see what advice and support we can give to try and resolve this issue.
And then second question, what's being done to guide employers who are not in the key sectors to not force people to work? We've had comments like, show up or you don't get paid, or they're missing representing the use of key workers status and getting employers in. That were two of the comments that we've had from many. Will you, as Chief Minister, stand up for the workers who should be at home, as not in vital roles, and clamp down on some bullying, it would appear, by some employers?
Yes, I've already had a number of emails, Tim, on this very topic, and obviously we will look into this. I'll be having discussions with the Minister for Enterprise and the rest of my team, the National Strategy Group, to see is there anything we can do to make it absolutely clearer on what is essential and what isn't essential. And if we keep on getting complaints from one area, then obviously we will take action. We ask for people to be reasonable, to be responsible. If they're not, we will have to take action. Thank you very much, Tim, for your questions. If we now move on to Mark from MTTV.
Chief Minister, good afternoon.
Hi, Mark.
You obviously announced yesterday, obviously, construction now stops on the Isle of Man, obviously, emergency work. In terms of the business support scheme that's obviously been introduced, why is it only going from each individual sectors on the arms economy and not being brought in as a whole blanket ban to many people who are self-employed or may not fit into the individual sectors which aren't being included?
Well, I know the Treasury Minister is looking at all areas to see if we've accidentally missed out a sector that that should be reasonably entitled. But we have to see that there are a number of sectors where they can send their staff home who can then work from home. And this single package of helping pay the salary of people up to 80% is costing the Isle of Man, just for the 3 week period, £70 million. This is a lot of money, and then on top of that we've got a number of other issues of areas where we're making payments to help keep the economy going. And if this was a one-off, you could say absolutely fine, but the Treasury Minister needs to look at this and decide how can we help those genuinely people that genuinely need the support. But if you can work from home and carry on in your business as safe from that, then these are elements that he needs to take into consideration. So I've left the Treasury Minister and the DfE Minister to get on with their package. They will be listening to all these concerns. I'm absolutely sure of it. The Treasury Minister has committed to coming on Monday to giving an update on the schemes and how he will see them work. And I think we should wait for that Monday press briefing to answer all these in-depth questions, which him and his team have been working on for quite a number of days now. Did you have a second question, Mark?
Yes, thank you. I was speaking to somebody yesterday over the phone. They were saying to me, one of the big killers of coronavirus won't actually be coronavirus. It might be depression, or a lot of people feeling isolated and alone. What provision or assurances can you give to particularly vulnerable elderly people about mental health provision on the Isle of Man? And is there any plans to increase it during this very self-isolating times?
Well, one of the reasons why we have allowed people who are exhibiting no symptoms of the illness and who are not being told they've got to stay at home no matter what, to get out and within a reasonable time frame exercise. So we have to accept that if you're living in a flat and you've got no garden, it's going to be really hard to get out and get some fresh air. So as long as this is not abused, people can go out to exercise as long as they keep their social distancing from people, and that will help with people's mental health and general fitness and health for themselves. But as I say, that's only if it's not abused. So that's one measure we've taken. But of course, social care, our social services have been contacting and putting in place packages to look after all the vulnerable people that we know about on the Isle of Man. And they're not doing that on their own. They're working with the third sector, a number of charities, and the phenomenal people of the Isle of Man who are volunteering, putting their names forward and giving advice and information on people that they feel who could be vulnerable during this period of time. So it's all of us coming together to look after the vulnerable in society, whether they've got mental health issues, dementia, illnesses that we know about through being their neighbour. We as a government cannot do this on our own. It has to be Team Isle of Man, and I am really delighted and impressed with the way the people of the Isle of Man have stepped up to help their neighbours. Thank you very much, Mark. We now move on to Rob at 3FM. Rob.
Well,
sorry, Rob, you need to unmute yourself. Oh, we haven't.
I've just been unmuted. Good afternoon, Chief Minister.
Good afternoon, Rob.
My first question, I'd just like to revisit those testing numbers that you mentioned just before. We're getting more tests back. We've had a slight increase in cases, but we're also seeing this backlog of test results keep increasing. We're aware of one case, at least in particular. They're now in the eighth day without a test result. And that is a significantly higher delay than what was the previous 72-hour mark in and around that area. I just wanted to ask, what efforts are being made to reduce that backlog, and why is this backlog increasing?
Right, well, I suppose effectively some of the testing centres in the UK, one in Manchester in particular, I'm led to believe, is swamped with the number of cases it's having to deal with, which is why, as a government, we have been working flat out to set up our own test centre on the Isle of Man, and we sincerely hope to have our own test centre up and running in the next 3 weeks, hopefully by the middle of next month, and that will see a significant reduction in the time that people are having to wait. But we're asking people to just wait, you know, give us a little bit of time to get on with it. There are over 60 million people in the United Kingdom, and they're doing thousands and thousands of testing in these laboratories. We are setting up our own to do our best to bring that waiting time down. Because I do appreciate that if you think you have it and you've been tested, then the anxiety you must be going through, I can't imagine. However, please bear with us and we will get that time down, and we've got our own lab coming online next month.
Thank you very much.
Your next question, Rob.
Yes, my second question for Mr. Corrie, please.
Okay, I'll just leave.
Hi, Rob. I thought I'd maybe escaped any more questions, but fire away.
Hi, Andy. Hope you're well.
Yep, good. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask about the supplies that you've mentioned before. We're looking at, as you say, you know, the vast majority of people are being very responsible, and the constant message as well, not to panic buy. But you go into any stores around the island still, you look at things like toilet rolls, hand sanitizers, tissues, soap, etc. Certain items which are still day-to-day sometimes feel like gold dust to get hold of. So what sort of conversations are retailers having, whether between yourselves or with the government as well, to make sure that we're able to compensate for this demand in certain supplies to make sure that places are as well stocked as possible?
Okay, well, I mean, the primary reason for the shortage isn't because there wasn't enough to go round. It's because so many people have bought far more than they actually need or can reasonably use within a short space of time. So in terms of some of these products you've addressed there, so hand sanitizer, I think we have to accept that there is now a global supply shortage of hand sanitizer, and all supplies are being prioritized for healthcare services. So it's very unlikely there'll be more hand sanitizers appearing in stores anytime soon. In terms of toilet rolls, we are now seeing that they're being delivered and they're actually staying on the shelves a little bit longer because I think, as I've said in a previous interview, there is probably enough toilet roll already on this island to wipe the island's bottom for the next 6 months. So people have realised that, and they're not quite so desperate to rush out and buy more. And then I think in terms of cleaning products, etc., there's more being produced. There is more on the way. It's basically just a case of the fact that people have stocked up. So I would suggest that now's the time for people to start using some of this additional supply that they've built up. There is more on the way, and there'll be deliveries of certainly fresh fruit and vegetables, fresh meats, bread, milk, etc., etc., on a day-to-day basis. And I would urge people to shop less often, so that it will reduce queuing times, etc., outside stores, and make the shopping trip a little bit easier for everyone, including the colleagues.
You said there that, you know, we're having to accept a global shortage of hand sanitizer effectively. Have you been able to estimate how long that shortage could last for in the long term?
It's very difficult because obviously the reason for the demand on hand sanitizer is the escalation of cases around the world. So it would be very dependent. The ability to keep up with the demand would be very dependent on how much that continues, or if and when it begins to abate. Well, not if and when, it will begin to abate, but that'll need to happen before supplies are made available to retail sectors.
That's great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. And next we have Alex from BBC.
Sorry, I have got one more for Mr. Corrie, please.
Oh, right, one for... Sorry, did I chop you, Mr. Corrie? My apologies.
Pardon me?
Sorry?
Have we got one more for Mr. Corrie, please, if he's around.
Oh, you got one for... Sorry, my apologies, Mr. Corrie.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Sorry, Mr. Corrie. Sorry for the poem there. I rhymed those two words.
That's okay. A late surge to the line, it seems.
I'm just wondering, we've heard plenty about retail stock. I was just wondering, as someone with the ears to the ground in your stores how staffing levels are in response to things like people isolating, people maybe being off sick. How are staffing levels doing? And do you anticipate there being any shocks towards your network as a result of a dip in staffing levels?
So it's very true to say that that across the UK, in the first instance, that has a varying degree of problem around the UK. Speaking for my own stores on the Isle of Man, I have we prepared for it. We've recruited temporary workers, etc. But what I would have to say is that the colleagues who work for the Manx Co-op are absolute superstars in the fact that our staffing levels remain very, very strong. The commitment levels of my colleagues, I go to sleep every night proud of the diligence and the determination of the guys to look after the people of the Isle of Man. True community spirit. It would be wrong of me to speak on behalf of other retailers. Every retailer has its own situations. But what I would suggest is that generally in life, if you look after the people who work for you, then they look after you when the time of need comes. And I would like to feel that that's what's happening now, certainly within my stores.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Alex.
And just one more for the Chief Minister now. You're free to go, I think.
Thank you.
Before I go, can I just thank Eddie for coming in and facing you all and answering your questions. It's really appreciative. And what we're trying to do, instead of saying politicians all the time, is bring in people from different sectors just to give you the feedback on what's happening in different areas of our island society. I hope over the weekend you'll have the Minister for Health and Social Care and also the Minister for Education, Sport and Culture will be doing the briefings on Saturday, Sunday. I will be around in meetings all over the weekend, but I hope they'll be able to answer all your questions and maybe be bringing in additional people to give a different flavour of what's happening around the island. So, Alex, your last question.
Thank you, Chief Minister. Just to revisit something that you told Tim Ward earlier on, you said there were around 20 people who are now unable to get back to the island due to the borders closing. Just wondering how you arrived at that figure, whether you think that figure is accurate, whether you think there may be more out there, and what, if any, consular assistance is being provided?
Right, well, I'm not convinced it's accurate. Those are the names of the people where, you know, the numbers we're dealing with at this moment in time. I'm sure I'd be surprised if that number didn't increase over the coming days as more people contact us. But that's the number that my team have been made aware of at this moment in time. Now, obviously, at this moment in time, that team are trying to, you know, do their best to give advice and support to the people who find themselves stranded on the adjacent isle or further afield. I know of some people who are still in Spain, for example. So this is work that's going on behind the scenes, and we will be continuing to give them the support, Alex. But I think it was a really important decision that we made, a really tough, as I said in Timwald, a tough, tough decision to take. But at the end of the day, the looking after the vulnerable people on the Isle of Man, the people over 70, the ladies who are pregnant, we needed to take the medical advice on what we should be doing and stopping people coming onto the Isle of Man for the time being until we can review the situation on the island. How is the flow of the spread going? And then in 3 weeks' time, when we have that information, we will be able to review the situation. But I do feel great sympathy for those people who are unable to get back to the island. Some of them have been not able to get back through no fault of their own. They've maybe been on a cruise ship, which has been in isolation, so they couldn't get off the ship to get back. And others have experienced flight cancellations from far-flung corners of the world. So I have sympathy for them. We are doing our best to help. But my number one priority is saving lives on the Isle of Man, Alex.
What about these people are from the Isle of Man, though? Can you not give them any assurances?
Well, of course, we're helping behind the scenes, and we will be giving them advice and bringing a register of all of them there. But at the end of the day, we have to look at the Isle of Man, the people on the Isle of Man, and the medical advice. I did give time and time again warnings to people, get home. When we brought in the quarantines and stopped non-Manx residents coming home, people should have been aware to get back. Now, as I say, some of the people stranded, through no fault of their own, are impacted on this. We're going to help everyone to the best we can. And at some stage, we will do our utmost to get them back to the island. But we have to plan that on the evidence and thoughts from our medics who will be observing how the flow of the virus is going. We cannot allow a peak in the eruptions, the outbreaks of coronavirus, because it could go through the capacity that our hospital and medics have on the island. We accept there will be more cases, but if we can spread the outbreaks over a wider period of time so that it doesn't go through at the peak through our medical and hospital capacity, then we will come through this together really to the, well, I'm not saying really well, it's going to be a horrible time for us, but at least we can come through it without breaching the capacity of the hospital. If that happens, then we will see significantly higher numbers of fatalities, as has happened everywhere in Spain, in Italy, where they, after a very short period of time, breached their medical capacity. We have made these decisions based on evidence to try and stem the flow of the spread of this virus, and that's in the interests of everyone on the Isle of Man. So thank you all very much. My colleagues will see you tomorrow, and I can just say to you all, stay safe. Thank you very much.